Remember what I said the other day about Jaspers and struggle. And I pointed out how Jaspers wants us to put forward what he calls open communication, page 55. Jaspers wants us to put forward what he calls open communication or the loving struggle, right? And we were talking then about how Jaspers, as part of our limit situations or our ultimate situations, one of which is struggle, Jaspers says we need to prefer the loving struggle and eschew violent struggle. And I had pointed out how we had turned into a society that fights a war against anything that we want to try to eradicate, right? But I had pointed out that also, in agreement with Jaspers, that everything we do is struggle. Well, I mean, we struggle a lot. Struggle to get up in the morning, struggle to learn to walk, struggle. We struggle as part of our condition. The problem that we run into in our society is we have reduced all struggle to war. And I tried to elucidate how it is the case that all war is struggle, but not all struggle is war. Now, very first page of chapter 1 of Pedagogy of the Oppressed begins with the bifurcation of humanization and dehumanization. And I think that it's safe to say that Freire would find in dehumanization a kind of violence, obviously. So I ask you to turn to the hymnal to page 55, Pedagogy of the Oppressed, page 55, last paragraph. Anam, do you feel like reading today?
Sure.
The last paragraph, violence is initiated.
Violence is initiated by those who oppress, who exploit, who fail to recognize others as persons, not by those who are oppressed, exploited, and unrecognized. It is not the unloved who initiate disaffection, but those who cannot love because they love only themselves. It is not the helpless, subject to terror, who initiate terror, but the violent, who with their powers create the concrete situation which begets the rejects of life. It is not the tyrannized who initiate despotism, but the tyrants. It is not the despised who initiate hatred, but those who despise. It is not those whose humanity is denied them who negate humankind, but those who denied that humanity, thus negating their own as well.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Okay. Stop there. Let's start with that last sentence, because that last sentence goes to the heart of this difference between humanization and dehumanization and the problem that Freire is trying to get at inside of this text. It is not those whose humanity is denied them who negate humankind, but those who denied that humanity, thus negating their own as well. Okay? Because the interesting aspect of what he's trying to do here is, yes, he's starting off with people who've lived an oppressed life, who've been very oppressed by the structures, Brazilian political structures. Oppressed to the point that one way to keep them oppressed was to make them, was to keep them in a situation where they would be illiterate so they couldn't know what the law is, read the newspaper, do any of those kind of situations, right? This is a key point that in this dehumanization, in this denial of humankind, the oppressor oppresses not only those who they know they're oppressing, they oppress themselves. because so that the oppressor oppresses the oppressed, and the oppressor oppresses the oppressor. By the very fact that in denying fullness of humankind to the people that are oppressed, the oppressor denies their own humankind. And that begins to make them, and this is always one of the areas where you want to be really careful when you're thinking about the political or you're thinking about history, that allows the oppressor to turn into a monster, dehumanized. But monster is a very important term here, and it needs to be understood technically by us. Okay? Because monster derives from the Latin word monstrere, which is also the root of the word demonstrate. Demonstrate. A monster, this word monstrere means, the word monstrere means warning. So whenever monsters show up in our mythical stories, in our fables, monsters are always a warning of something. Right? When the oppressor oppresses the oppressed, and thereby in that dehumanization dehumanizes themselves, they become a monster, not in the sense that they actually are no longer human, but in the sense they become a warning to us of what we could be. Right? So this is very important. This is where all of this stuff is balanced very carefully here. If you're not careful and you dehumanize the dehumanizer in your reaction to them, you fall into the same violence that they've been committing. You become nothing more than a reproduction of that. Right? You have to be really careful. What Frere's wanting us to think about here is he's wanting us to see how, to see where violence may begin. To see where violence may begin. But what does Jasper say about beginnings and sources?
They're not the same.
So he wants us to see where violence begins. But he also wants us to realize, right, so you can see where violence begins, like in a situation like Hitler's Germany. Violence begins with the rise of the Nazi Party. And it culminates in the death of 12 million Jews, gypsies, homosexuals, and anybody who disagreed with the Nazis. Okay? Begins there, but what is the source? What is the source? Right? The source is not the beginning. The beginning is not the source. What is the source? The source is the consistent reproduction of human beings, reactions of human beings, of violence with violence. The source is the tendency of human beings to fall into dehumanizing behavior. The source is our own fear. source is our own fear. And let's look again here in Pedagogy of the Press, page 55, at what Anam had read. Violence is initiated by those who oppress, who exploit, who fail to recognize others as persons, not by those who are oppressed, exploited, and unrecognized. So there's our beginning. From the source of our fear, through the process of dehumanization, violence begins not with the person who is treated violently, right? But in the person who reacts in fear violently. It is, and this is really important, I think, because now this is, I want you to begin seeing right here in this, and we'll go back over it, but I want you to see right here in this, one of the reasons I'm getting y'all to read this is because you are both oppressed and oppressor. You're caught up in a society that's an awesome society. I am not un-American. I'm not anti-American. But I want to be a realist about where we are. You're caught up in a society that simultaneously oppresses and allows for oppression. If we can't see these things, we can't begin to respond to these things. To critique the place you live to get enough distance to see it and recognize that there is violence going on around you in all kinds of ways. Remember, and Jaspers also pointed out this violence is both physical and psychological, physical and intellectual. Yeah? Okay? It is not the unloved who initiate disaffection, but those who cannot love because they love only themselves. It's not the unloved who initiate disaffection, but those who cannot love because they love only themselves. See, think about this loving struggle. Loving struggle means you're struggling with somebody. You're struggling together. Competition. Struggling together. Right? Freedom means the duty of being friends. Right? Struggling together. Right? Love. But you cannot love, the only thing you love is yourself, you've begun the dehumanization process. If all you care about is yourself, you've begun the dehumanization process. It is not the helpless subject to terror who initiate terror, but the violent who with their power create the concrete situation which begets the rejects of life. It is not the tyrannized who initiate despotism, but the tyrants. It is not the despised who initiate hatred, but those who despise. And let me point out to you here, and this will be on the quiz today, so y'all write it down, okay? Don't lose this opportunity because it's a pretty badass aphorism. It is not the despised. Let's read it one more time because that's pretty badass. It is not the despised to initiate hatred, but those who despise. Max Scheler is a German philosopher, and he had this really awesome aphorism, and I think it's something everybody should take to heart and really meditate on over the weekend when you're at the football game or you're at the kegger or whatever it is y'all do these days for a good time. Hatred is love for the non-existence of a thing. Hatred is love for the non-existence of a thing. What do you think that means? What's your name?
Jordan.
Jordan, what do you think that means?
I guess to me, just hearing about it, it's like, it's just showing recognition to something. Hatred is dislike in a way. It's you don't love it, you hate it. It's another strong emotion that you
right.
hit towards.
But hatred's not the opposite of love for Shaylee. It's yeah. the same thing, right?
It's the same thing.
So you actually want to see what is this is love for the non-existence of a thing. What do you want to see happen? The obliteration of it, right? See, I mean, the first time that I heard, I know some people think The Phantom Menace is a horrible movie, or they think the first trilogy is a bad, you know, the prequels are a bad movie, but you know, when Yoda says, you know, oh, hatred, right? He's moving, fear leads to this, and anger leads to this, and hatred leads to that. See, Jordan, it's you want it to stop existing. You literally want it to disappear. Right? Love for the non-existence of a thing. But notice something else that's going on here. Let's say you hate somebody. You literally want that person to cease to exist. And in order to make that person something that you would want to cease to make that person a person you'd want to cease to exist, you turn that person into a thing. You thingify it. First, you make it a thing. That's an act of violence. And then you continue the violence by hoping that it ceases to exist. That it's obliterated. That it's annihilated. We could also say this. The annihilation. I think I probably misspelled that. The annihilation of a thing.
It was like Benjamin and the Jews, because he didn't see the Jews as people. He saw them as
exactly.
like a disease,
right.
as a thing. So it was easy for him to just kill them all
right.
because they weren't people.
Right. So part of what... Yes, very good.
Kenneth.
I was fixing to say that.